message. Before he does, we're going to have chapter 1, and that is on page 1128 in the Church Bible. Page 1128, and I'll be reading Romans chapter 1, verses 1 to 6. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God. The gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his Son, who as to his human nature was a descendant of David, and who through the Spirit of holiness was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead, Christ Jesus our Lord. Through him, and for his name's sake, we received grace and apostleship to call people from among all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes through faith. And you also are among those who are called to belong to Jesus Christ.
We believe in Marx, Freud, and Darwin. We believe that everything is okay as long as you don't hurt anyone, to the best of your definition of hurt and to the best of your knowledge. We believe there's something in UFOs and horoscopes. Jesus was a good man, just like Buddha, Muhammad, and ourselves. He was a good moral teacher, although we think his good morals were bad. We believe all religions are basically the same. At least the one we read was. They all believe in love and goodness. They only differ in matters of creation, sin, heaven, hell, God, and salvation. We believe that each man must find the truth that is right for him. Reality will adapt accordingly. The universe will readjust. History will alter. We believe there is no such thing as absolute truth, excepting the truth that there is no absolute truth. That's part of a longer poem by Steve Turner, a poem that pokes fun at an idea that's very popular in our society. And that view says this. It says, "My personal beliefs are none of your business. I may believe in Marx or Freud or Darwin or in Jesus Christ or in nothing at all, and it's got nothing to do with you. All religions are basically the same. Each man must find the truth that is right for him. My religion is private, and it's personal, and it's internal, so keep out. Trespassers will be attacked." The problem with that is the resurrection. What we celebrate on Easter Day is a historical event. It's the event that stands at the center of world history. It's the event that divides all calendars into two parts, into BC and AD. It's an event that's so huge that if it's true, it just detonates every other worldview. Now, just a moment ago, we heard this read. It's on page 1128 in the Church Bible, if you've closed your Bible. It was Romans chapter 1, verse 4. Jesus was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead. Jesus was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead. You can't say religion's just private because the resurrection was public. You can't say truth is just a personal thing because if the resurrection really happened, then Christianity is the truth, like it or not. And if the resurrection didn't happen, then Christianity is just a lie. So as Christians, here's what we are proclaiming on Easter morning. The resurrection declared that Jesus is God's Son. The resurrection declared that Jesus is God's Son. Declared it publicly. Now, let's just back up for a moment. Jesus was a historical figure. No one who's looked into it doubts that at all. Jesus was a man. He lived in Palestine in the first century AD. His life is recorded in the Bible and also in a number of secular historians. And so is his execution by the Roman authorities. So Jesus was a man, but he wasn't just a man. Not just a man. Jesus was the Jewish Messiah. So we read in verse 3 of Romans 1, as to his human nature, he was a descendant of David. Well, what's that all about? Well, for God's people, the Jews, they were waiting for the king God had promised them. They were waiting for their Messiah to deliver them from the Roman occupiers and usher in a wonderful kingdom of peace and prosperity. So they'd listened to Jesus' teaching. And they'd looked at Jesus' miracles, and they'd wondered to themselves, could this be him? Could this be the one? And their scriptures, the Old Testament, told them the Messiah would be descended from King David. And Jesus? Well, he was a descendant of David. But then, Jesus led a fairly obscure life, by and large. He never travelled outside Palestine. He never commanded any armies, never sat in any throne, never even tried to overthrow the Romans. In fact, he was poor and homeless. He was persecuted and arrested. He was despised. He was laughed at. He was spat on. He was flogged. He was executed. If Jesus was supposed to be the Jewish Messiah, the king, then everything seemed to have gone horribly wrong. And then on Good Friday, Jesus gasped out his last on the cross. It was horrible. And his lifeless corpse was buried, dust to dust, ashes to ashes. Death had claimed another victim. And it seemed that all the hopes and dreams of Jesus' disciples were buried with him. Messiahs don't get crucified. And then came Easter morning, and it turned out that Jesus wasn't just the Jewish Messiah. He was much, much more. The tomb was empty. Jesus was risen from the dead, literally, bodily risen. Yet he hadn't just disappeared. He could be seen. He could be touched. He walked, he talked. He ate, he drank. It was no illusion or wishful thinking. This was solid and physical and concrete and historical and seen by lots of witnesses. This was a public declaration of Jesus' identity. And so we read that verse. Jesus was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead. Who is Jesus? Not just a man, not just the Jewish Messiah. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the Son of God. I lived for a number of years in Edinburgh, in a little flat quite near the centre of the city. I loved Edinburgh. And all around Edinburgh, you can see the castle up in the rock. And at night, it's floodlit and it looks majestic. It sort of towers over the rest of the city. And each year in the middle week of the Edinburgh Festival, on the Thursday of that week, they hold this giant fireworks display. And £500,000 worth of fireworks, paid for by Glenlivet Whiskey, they all go up in smoke in about 30 minutes flat. And it's absolutely brilliant. Anyway, before the fireworks start, they turn off the floodlights in the castle. And if you're a visitor to the city, you wouldn't know the castle was there. You simply can't see it. But when the floodlights are turned on, then it appears. the huge, magnificent castle dominating the skyline. Now, during his earthly life, Jesus' glory couldn't really be seen. He taught his disciples privately. When he spoke to the crowd, mostly he spoke in parables. His identity was a subject of speculation. Even his own disciples didn't really grasp who he was. They were pretty much in the dark. They couldn't see it. When Jesus was hanging on the cross, people couldn't see who he was. His glory was hidden. They knew he was a man. They'd hoped he might have been the Jewish Messiah. They hadn't really got any clue he was the Son of God. But when God raised Jesus from the dead that first Easter Sunday, the floodlights went on. It was public. It was there for everyone to see. Jesus was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead. Actually, the way it's translated in our Bibles isn't especially helpful. More accurately, it says Jesus was declared to be the Son of God in power by his resurrection from the dead. And declared really means appointed. Jesus was appointed Son of God in power. Well, of course, Jesus always had been the Son of God. From before the world began, he'd been the Son of God. But as far as this world went, well, he'd lived in poverty. He'd been despised. He'd suffered in weakness. He'd died in agony. When Jesus humbled himself to become a man, it didn't make him less than the Son of God. Not at all. It added humanity to his deity. And when Jesus rose from the dead, that gave him greater stature still. His position in this world was completely transformed. No longer the suffering victim, now Jesus is the conquering hero, triumphing over death. Now his status is revolutionized. Now he's the Son of God in power. It's there for everyone to see. The floodlights are on. That's Easter. The resurrection was the divine reversal of the human verdict. Human beings put Jesus to death. God raised Jesus from the dead. The resurrection declared that Jesus is God's Son. In the Times newspaper this week, writer John Carey was asked, amongst others, what Easter meant to him. What did he think of Jesus? And here's what he said. It is just his pain, his helplessness, and his endurance that make him superior. It is just his pain, his helplessness, and his endurance that make him superior. But he couldn't be more mistaken. It's the fact that Jesus is the Son of God that places him in a totally different category from every other man and woman. And it's his resurrection that demonstrates that fact. The Apostle Paul wrote to the early church in Corinth, "Once we regarded Christ from a worldly point of view, we do so no longer." Why not? Because of the resurrection. So how do you regard Jesus this morning? As a man? He was certainly that. As a Jewish Messiah? Yes, he's the Messiah, the Christ. He's that too. But the resurrection proclaims something much greater. Not just a man, not just the Jewish Messiah. Jesus is the Son of God. And that's not private. It's not a secret. It's not the truth if you'd like it to be true for you, and not the truth if you've got something else you'd rather believe in. The resurrection is recorded as history. Either it's true or it's not true. Each one of us has to look at the facts, the evidence, and make up our mind. So as Christians, we believe the resurrection declared that Jesus is God's Son. Perhaps you find that hard to believe. Hard to believe that Jesus rose from the dead because people don't do that. They just don't come back from the dead. Perhaps you say, no one else has ever risen from the dead, so Jesus can't have done that. But you see, that's exactly the point. Jesus is unique. Only Jesus is the Son of God. When Jesus rose from the dead, it was something completely new and completely unprecedented. The fact that Jesus' resurrection is unique and unprecedented isn't an objection to Christianity. No. It's the central claim of Christianity. It's the foundation of the Christian faith. Jesus was declared to be the Son of God in power by his resurrection from the dead. The resurrection declared that Jesus is God's Son. Okay, but so what? That's a remarkable and amazing thing, but what has that got to do with me or you personally 2,000 years later? Well, turn on in your Bibles to Romans chapter 10. It's 3 or 4 pages forward. If you're using the church Bible, it's page 1137. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 says this: if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Let's read it again. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. We live in a godless world. We live in a society that squeezed God out. We've shut him up in ancient buildings with stained glass windows so that he can't interfere with how we'd like to live. We've kept him at arm's length so he doesn't get in the way and make any demands on us. We even pretended he doesn't exist at all. And God is angry. God made us. God owns us. God loves us. God wants us, and we've just kicked him in the teeth. He's angry. Left to ourselves, all of us are under God's condemnation, the whole human race. What a tragedy. Now, what's so amazing is this: the man Jesus Christ was God come in human flesh. Jesus is the Son of God. We belong to Jesus. He is rightfully our Lord. And yet, he came into this world as a man to die as a human being for human beings. He came and took the blame and the penalty which we human beings deserve. Think of it like this. The cross was the moment when all the evil and all the pain in the world were all heaped up in one place in one day, there to be dealt with once and for all, when Jesus died on the cross. How do we know that's true? How do we know that our God died for us? We know it because of the resurrection. The resurrection declared that Jesus is God's Son, and so the Christian declares that Jesus is Lord. The Christian declares that Jesus is Lord. That's what we're declaring this morning. Jesus is Lord. We've sung it, and it's not private. It's public. It's an open declaration that Jesus died for us and bought our freedom from condemnation. We are not our own. We were bought at a price. Jesus is Lord. And you know, that requires a bit of a climb down, a recognition that I wasn't able to sort out my own life. I needed Jesus. It means I have to swallow my pride. Jesus owns me. Jesus is my Lord. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. The Christian declares that Jesus is Lord. To confess means to say the same thing as. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, then you're saying the same thing as thousands of other Christians down through 2,000 years. You're saying the same as the Christians who saw Jesus Christ in the flesh raised from the dead with their own eyes. The first creed of the early church was these very words, Jesus is Lord. And we are saying, yes, we agree with that. We believe that too. We know it because God raised him from the dead. Jesus is Lord. We stand with you. If you confess Jesus is Lord, you're saying the same as millions of Christians around the world today. We believe the same as you. You who are meeting in Indonesia or Africa or Asia or South America, we believe the same. Jesus is Lord. We stand with you. This is public. Mouth and heart go together. Mouth and heart go together. To say Jesus is Lord, if you don't believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, well, that's pretty silly, really, isn't it? Why would you do that? If Jesus wasn't raised from the dead, then he isn't God's son, and this whole Christianity business is a delusion. In many parts of the world, to say Jesus is Lord brings opposition and persecution and suffering. You'd have to be mad to say Jesus is Lord if it was going to land you in jail, unless you believe in the resurrection. Christians are prepared to die for Jesus because Christians know Jesus isn't dead. And it'll cost you and me something to declare that Jesus is Lord. People may laugh at us. People may be angry. They may reject us. But if we know it's true, we'll keep on saying it. But because to believe Jesus is Lord and keep quiet about it, well, that's nothing short of criminal, really, is it? Mouth and heart go together. If I discovered the cure for AIDS and I didn't tell everyone, that'd be criminal. If I found a cure for cancer and I thought, well, I'll just keep this to myself, it'd be criminal. In the same way, then, if I know that Jesus is God's son, and I know that he died to save us from God's anger and condemnation, and I decide that that's something private and personal and a secret that's just for me, it's criminal. Now, I don't know who all of you are. Maybe some of you are visitors with us, and you were brought along to church this morning by somebody else. And maybe they've asked you to come lots of times, and you wonder why they keep pestering you about it. You wonder why they're so persistent about this. Well, it's because they've come to know this truth, and they can't help but want to tell you as well. The resurrection declared that Jesus is God's son, and the Christian declares that Jesus is Lord. We hear quite a lot about discrimination in our society these days, I think. Discrimination because of sex, discrimination because of age, discrimination because of race. But you know, the worst, the most disgraceful discrimination of all is to decide not to tell someone about Jesus, to privatize that truth. That's the worst discrimination of all. Sexism, ageism, racism, all the other isms, they just pale into insignificance before that. To know about Jesus and his resurrection, to know that Jesus is Lord, to know the way to be saved, and just keep it to yourself. So if you're here this morning and you're a visitor looking into the Christian faith, be really grateful and thankful for the person who brought you along here this morning. Easter is a great Sunday to come to church. The resurrection is a public declaration that Jesus is God's son. And the Christian makes a public declaration that Jesus is Lord. And your friend or neighbor has declared that to you. They want you to hear that news. It's the most important thing. It's the biggest event in history. It's the biggest thing in their life. And it's the most important thing for you too. And now the ball's in your court. If you still have your Bible open, look down to verse 13 of Romans chapter 10. Otherwise, you can see it here up on the screen. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. Call on the name of the Lord. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's the offer held out to you this Easter morning. Jesus died to pay for your rebellion against God. Jesus is alive. If you put your faith in him, you'll be made right with God. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Let's pray. Almighty God and our Heavenly Father, we come before you just marveling at what you've done. Lord, we know that every one of us faces the prospect of death. It's the thing that frightens us most. It's the end of every story and every hope, or so it seems. And Father, how we rejoice and marvel this morning to remember again that you raised the man, Jesus Christ, from the dead, declaring him to be your Son and our Lord. Father, we thank you that death is defeated. We thank you that we can be right with you because of what Jesus did on the cross. Father, we celebrate that fact this morning. And Lord, for everyone here who may not yet be able to say Jesus is Lord, I just ask that you would put the floodlights on in their minds and their heart and show them that this is true. Lord, thank you that this is history, that it's public. Thank you we're not a cult doing something in secret, but that this is part of history and that it's open. And we declare the truth that on that first Easter Sunday, you raised your Son from the dead, proclaiming him to be the Son of God in power. And we thank you for that in his name. Amen.